All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles, and we'll begin a little bit in Revelation chapter 6 tonight. I encourage you to mark Daniel, 2 Thessalonians, and we'll be back and forth in Revelation as well, too, tonight, by the grace of God. But last week, we ventured into that sixth chapter, and in that sixth chapter, we saw the first seal being opened. Remember that book that no man, the scroll that no man could take, and John was crying, and here came the Lamb. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? It's always the Lamb, and it's always, here comes the Lamb. Praise His name. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that wonderful Lamb, now going to take the throne as God, is ready to pour forth the judgment. And what is so beautiful here, as we see in the sixth chapter, is this is right after the first trump. This is the beginning of the tribulation, the beginning of the 7 years. And this is the beginning of this judgment. And it was very sweet to see, as we read just the first two verses last week in chapter 6, it is the Lamb that announces, I should say that opens each seal. And then it's so sweet because the four beasts, those four living ones, the bride of Christ, is there saying, come, come. And that invitation, and you can see all the way through now, she is going to be with him and pouring forth the judgment because God was true to his word and is always true to his word. If you'll suffer with me, you're going to reign with me. You'll be glorified together with me. You will rule and reign jointly with Jesus Christ. And this is the encouragement that we take here from this. And, you know, what encouragement that we have in reading. And again, we'll just go ahead and start from reading verse 2 of the 6th chapter. And I saw, and behold, this is John, after that seal was opened in the first verse, after the Lamb opened the seal, and he heard the voice as thunder of one of the four beasts saying, come. And he says, and I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And as we began, we understand that this is the first appearance that's shown here of the Antichrist. And he is appearing, obviously, at such an opportune time to deceive, because he has come in here on a white horse. He's coming in as basically the Savior. I'm going to save this situation. He comes in with a crown on his head. So we see that he's going to be given authority on this. And we see that he comes with a bow, which speaks of strength. But yet, you'll notice there's no arrows with the bow. So we see that he comes in this peaceful manner, in this promise of peace, this promise of safety. And as the word of God says, when they cry peace and safety, then so it's sudden destruction. And so we understand, and it's an exciting time, brothers and sisters, because we are at that threshold. We are at the time of great chaos, and we really are. The world has been at certain times, but it's moving at an exceeding rate and an accelerating rate, and we know this, and you can see it. You can see the signs in the people. You can see the signs. I love to see the signs in those that are alive in Christ, and they're getting ready for his appearing. Hallelujah. But there's many things that are going on. We're seeing more chaos. We're seeing more uncertainty, and it's such an opportune time for this one to come and to deceive, because men are looking for everything and anything else to help them, but the one thing that can help them, and that's Jesus. And that's Jesus. That's it. Just like in our households. And we have types of this even as believers. Anytime we look anywhere else but Jesus, we're in the wrong place. It's going to be empty. When we get away from the Word of God, we get weak. We're susceptible to the enemy. When we get away from the Word of God, I'll tell you what, those trials and that temptation, they get heavy, heavy on us. And we begin to listen to other things. So we need to be in the Word of God. But we see here that this Antichrist is going to present himself as God. We'll read about that tonight. He's going to deceive the world to thinking that he is the Savior of it. As I mentioned last week, the Lord had encouraged my heart. We're going to explore quite a bit of scripture tonight of things about who this Antichrist is, where he comes from, some of the different things about him. And it's not to magnify that. It's to actually just receive the word of God. God didn't tell us these things if they weren't important. He didn't talk about this stuff, not for that we just get so absorbed in one part and that type of thing. He said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, you look up. because your redemption, your salvation draws nigh. And we're thankful for this. But we're going to spend some time tonight. And first of all, Antichrist, it's just like whether it was Baal or any of these other gods and stuff. You know, that God can't be anything but just a dead thing. But what happens is that anti, it means in place of. So in place of Jesus, here comes the Antichrist. And he's going to call himself God. And the Bible gives us a lot of detail. So let's go ahead and start turning over to Daniel chapter 7. But like I say, we're going to be moving back and forth in the Word of God tonight. So in Daniel 7, we're going to see, first of all, where he comes from and how he rises to power. And in Daniel 7, just to kind of give you a little overview here, Daniel is given a vision here. And the vision that he begins with here that he's given of the Lord is he sees the four great empires of the world, that really the world empires. And the first one being the Babylonian Empire, the second one being the Persian Empire, the third one is the Greek Empire, and then obviously during the time of Jesus and Paul, and that was the time of the Roman Empire. So that's how things begin, and he lists them out, and as we begin this, I want to reference, you can go back and look at it, but there's just a little quote from Revelation 13:1 about the Antichrist. It says, "He rises from the sea." Okay, now, in the Word of God, when it speaks of the sea, that speaks of the Gentiles. And when we hear the word earth, that speaks of the Jew. So this Antichrist comes up from the Gentile nation. And in Daniel, I'm kind of moving around here a little bit, so stay with me. Get excited when we get into this stuff. But in 9:26, Daniel chapter 9:26, it says there, "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations and determined." What this is speaking of here is the Antichrist. And it says that his people of the prince, the Antichrist meaning here the prince, they shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary. This is speaking of A.D. 70. This is when the temple was destroyed in Jerusalem. And who was it destroyed by? It was destroyed by the Romans, speaking again of the Gentiles. So the Antichrist, his people will be of that Roman heritage. So this Antichrist, as we're reading here, and there's going to be more description of him here in a minute. So let's not just close it off here and say, well, this is it, and so I know where he's at, and he's you know, going to be Italian. He could be, never mind. Okay. So let's just hang in here. But he's going to be Roman. He's going to be Eastern Mediterranean. You would think of kind of a European-ish. Yes, Roman, Greek, Turkish. But also in the first part of Daniel 11, it refers to the Antichrist as a faction of the king from the north, which is truly the part of the Greek Empire, which was Syria. And this is really exciting because if you think about our world today, everything's focusing very much so around Syria. And so there's so much type and shadow, and yet there's so much evidence of the type and shadow that's coming forth. And I thank the Lord, you know, we've spoken many times. And let me tell you, Syria ain't too far from Battle of Armageddon, in that valley where it's going to be. And all of those different things. But, you think about how Russia, for years and years, they tried to get down through Afghanistan and get close that way. They couldn't, with all of their weapons, and you think about that military, they were a world great power, almost equal to the United States at that time. They couldn't beat the Afghanis. They'd go in there, and I'll tell you what, it was more brutal, it was worse than even our Vietnam. They lost people by the tens of thousands in there. They could not take them. And yet today, they're being invited right into Syria. They have air bases there. They have all of these things here. These are things to take note of. And so many things. Even this past week, it was kind of exciting in some respects. And I do believe it's a type and a shadow. They were bringing images and sculptures of Baal even into New York City. There's a lot of type in that as well, too. Now, I'm not trying to get you to be carried away into this and this and all of that, but we do need to be enamored. Jesus is coming. And I thank God, as he said to them, like I say, we keep going back to that birth. You know, those prophets said that the Savior is going to be born. He's coming. And you know what? He came. And the Word of God is not going to be stopped. It's yea and amen. What the Word of God says is true. It's the only truth there is, and it will be. So we thank God for this. So we see this of this again, this Antichrist that is of the people of Rome that destroyed the temple. We see that the Antichrist rises up from the sea. So again, that speaks of Gentile. But in Daniel 11, 36 and 37, let's go over there and read about the origins and possibilities of, in a sense, not just possibilities, but the things the Word of God tells you about the origin of the Antichrist. And then again, this speaks of the Antichrist calling him a king here. And the king shall do according to his will. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined, that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. Now, this is an interesting statement here where it says, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Now, specifically when that is said in the Word of God, this would infer about the Jewish descendants. They always spoke of the one God, the one true and only God, the God of Abraham. So now, wait a second. We just said that he came up from the Gentiles. Well, sure, he did. They said that his people was from Rome. Sure, that's true too. But remember, we got moms and dads. And they had moms and dads. And so there's lots of different ancestry that comes on down. And I believe that the Lord showed us this in a very sweet type. And I'll bring you back to around 1930. And there was a fellow named Hitler. And he thought he was going to take over the world. And it was very interesting about that guy Hitler, if you remember right. He just thought there should be one race of people. And they were this Aryan race, and they were going to look like this and be like this, and that's all it was going to be. And you know what? It's funny because some of the guys said, you know, you don't really look like this, what you're trying to do. Well, they found out about Hitler and his genealogy and all that. Did you know that that man that was so determined to destroy the Jews, he was Jewish? Yes, he was. And believe it or not, he even had a very small percentage, but lines of Africa as well, too, in his genetics. So, what does all of this mean? Well, I kind of think that you got a Roman, you got a Grecian, you got a Jew, you got this composite man. He's from every people of the earth. So, this kind of qualifies him to be the embodiment of all the evil of man. He represents everybody. And I think that we can kind of see that. But we'll get into this in later on, but the false prophet, it will say, comes up from the earth. The false prophet will be a Jew, that one that gives him power in that regard. But you think about that team and how they'll be so brutal, obviously, to the people of God, and then obviously trying to exterminate the Jew. And here they are. Isn't that something? It shows you, you know, this thing about blood and all of that with man's blood. They don't care. They'll sell you out in a moment. You know that. So the only love there is the love of Christ. So you can, I hope that give you a little bit, you know, where some people say, oh, yeah, he's a Jew, he's a this, he's a... Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things, but he's going to come up from the sea, so I know he's going to come out of the Gentiles. I know his people is from the Romans. I get that. But I also think that there could be a lot of mix in this fella because he seems to sure get along with everybody. Because they're all trying to get along with the enemy. And that's what you're going to get. But let's go on now. Now, how does the Antichrist come to power? Well, we read a little bit about it in Revelation 6:2. What did it say there? He promotes peace. He comes in with showing this strength, but he's very much there. I'm not for war. I come in power, but the power is peace. So let's go over here and read in Daniel 8, 24 and 25 about his real intentions and about what he is trying to do here. So again, Daniel 8, 24 and 25. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully. Isn't that something? That's quite a word to use for destroying. He destroys wonderfully. No one's destroyed like this fellow does, because he's going to be empowered by the dragon, by Lucifer himself. And shall prosper in destroying wonderfully, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy, listen to these words, also he shall cause craft or deceit to prosper in his hands, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. So again, what it's saying here, by peace he shall destroy many. So we read here, and we'll read in other places, he has this amazing lying tongue. When he opens his mouth, he's lying. But his lies are so good, and the people are so apart from God and don't want to have anything to do with God. We're going to read about here very quickly. You know what God does? He gives them over to a lie. He allows them to believe this lie. Even though God has warned them, told them all of this, they're going to wander right after him. It's always amazed me in the Word of God. The Lord does not, he's not shy in telling what a sinner will do. He will tell you exactly what those that hate him will do. Now you would think that they would maybe be smart enough to look into the Word of God and not do that. But see, they can't, because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God's going to tell you exactly what you're going to do, especially. See, we have this wonderful encouragement of his grace and mercy that works that wonderful power in us, that changes us from glory to glory. But see, a sinner is dead, and all he can be encouraged by is the enemy. See, you're either for the Lord or you're against him. You may have a nice neighbor, and I'm glad you do, but that neighbor may not be saved. That neighbor is against the Lord. He is. You're making that decision. You may not act like it, just like Christians. Oftentimes, they don't act like they love Jesus, do they? And we're all right there at times. We get that. Oh, Lord, how did I feel that today? Why did I say that? That was the wrong thing. But yet, we have a conscience. And the conscience, praise the Lord, is the life of Christ that lives in us. And that's what needs to be fed and encouraged all the time. But see, in this, we have this one that's going to speak these great lies. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, and we'll get there in a minute, but if you, as a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and read this. We'll read it a couple times. It's a good thing to read over and over. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, this is speaking of the Antichrist, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. See, he is so equipped and enabled. Again, God has to allow this, but he allows the dragon to truly be the embodiment within this vessel. And so you can see these signs and lying power, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. See, the love of the truth is Jesus. That they this is why we know, that they might be saved. See, the love of the truth will save you. The love of Jesus saves you. That precious message that, you know, he died on the cross for you. He shed that blood for you to save you. That's love. And for this cause, because they rejected that, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. They'll go fully after this, hook, line, and sinker. They're going to march right along. And God has shown us this time and time again, over and over, because God's merciful. He's gracious. And every time, you know what man says? Every time. Oh, well, we've learned from that. We're too smart. We're not going to repeat that. No, you know what man does? He repeats it not only the same way, but even worse. It gets bigger. That problem acerbates. The vomit is even a bigger pile of it. Until one day it's going to be the last one. Praise be to God. And this is what it is. So He says all of these things. He says so many wonderful things, but they're all lies. And he gets them with flattery. See, I tell you what, be careful when people start throwing roses at you. As the Word of God says, you beware when all men speak well of you. Amen. Now, I want to seek peace with all men as much as lies within me. And I do. I don't want to do anything against the truth and things of that nature. But I'll tell you what, when they start singing praises to you, you better be aware. And probably aware of your testimony. That's the biggest thing, is who are you serving? And you understand that. You start walking with God, the world doesn't want to have anything to do with you. They're not going to be singing your praises. They're going to tell you to get out. So, in Daniel 11, verses 21 through 24, let's go on over there. And this is some good stuff. And it says there in 11:21, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably." Listen to all that peace. Isn't that amazing? And see, that's what everybody's clamoring for, aren't they? See, man wants peace. They all want peace. But there's only one Prince of Peace. There's only one peace. And that's the peace of Jesus. And he said, not only do you have, I give you my peace. I leave you my peace. And not as the world giveth, give I unto you. He gave it. And he gave it fully. And it's not a contingency thing. He gave it. We have it. Praise God. And it's thriving in our lives by faith, by hearing the word of God. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom, how? By flatteries. Isn't that something? I mean, how stupid do people get? Really stupid. Look at where we are today. Really. It's a reprobate mind. I love that statement there in Romans. We've come to the place of a reprobate mind. And I love the word reprobate. Always remember this. It's a mind that can't make the right decision. It's right there to make the right decision. It's obvious what the right decision is. But it can't. We're there. Are we not? Think about the things we do. Think about, again, the countries and all of how we're going to do things. That ain't going to work. I know the only thing that does work is the word of God. Amen. So remember that. But it's interesting. "And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken. Yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And he shall enter in peaceably," here we are again, "even upon the fattest places of the province. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches, yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time." So you can see how he comes in. I mean, this is like the Pied Piper. This guy's coming in here, and he's singing a song. He's bringing you peace, and he's giving you money. He's giving you gifts. It's a free-for-all. We're about there. God help me just to stay in it. Amen. All right. But as the world would say, oh, this is a good guy. You know it, huh? Yeah. Now, let's go on back to Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. It says in 7:8, this is, again, we're kind of going back a little bit, but I'm thankful the Lord kind of have it going this way. I'm just going to leave it. He says here, "I considered the horns." This is Daniel speaking as he saw these empires, and the Babylonian, the Persian, the Greek, and the Roman Empire. And he sees this beast, this beast, and this beast has 10 horns. And so he says, "I considered the horns on this beast." And this beast, again, of the 10 horns, is the one that's seen there of the Roman Empire, speaking of those nations and those kingdoms. "And there came up among them," those 10 horns, "there came up a little horn, whom there was three of the first horns plucked up by the roots of," really, that first horn, or the 11th horn. And behold, in this horn were the eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. You know, you think about the emphasis we put in how something is said, and how words are spoken, and how if you're not a good orator, well, I guess we just have to get rid of you. Be aware. Be aware. This one is going to speak. Silver tongue would be even way too low for this guy. This guy's got it all. Never says anything that's off. It's just right on. It's what exactly the lie that the people are ready to hear. And he does it all with that. It's interesting, isn't it? And it shows you he comes in with a small amount. He really doesn't even have a kingdom. He's just a little horn. But yet he gets these three other kings of the horns to give him their power. This is quite a fella. He could definitely talk the socks right off of you, you know. That kind of fella. And it's something in this. I pray we even take this to heart in our own lives. Amen. Do you see the wisdom that we need all the time in the Word of God? Because we could be poached so fast, but for God, amen, you know what I'm saying. And we all have at one time or another. But I'll tell you, he's been made all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption to you. You don't need to worry and fret about things. I pray that people in the Lord will be bold in the Lord. And you, in the mind of Christ, who could stand up to the mind of Christ? What would you not know that Christ would withhold from you if he brought you to something in your life? He wouldn't. That's the answer. And he says, I've been made all wisdom to you. So it's not that you're a know-it-all. It's just that the Lord knows all. That's why I love, in so many different ways, the Word of God speaks to us. But one of the things I received from Peter in all of that conversation back and forth with the Lord, one precious thing I've always had, Lord, thou knowest. Amen. I don't know a thing. And you don't know a thing. But I know who knows everything, and it's this wonderful word. And when we go in there, you'll have that strength and that wonderful wisdom. And I'll tell you what, you'll begin to make large steps. He's enlarged my steps, like David said. You know, he didn't have to creep around there and things. He said, no, I'm believing God. I can have enlarged steps in my life. And I thank that about the Lord. So we see this little horn, the Antichrist. He rises up from amongst 10 kingdoms, yet he's not a kingdom. And it's interesting, again, as I mentioned, three of these nations give him power. So we got a real cunning fella here that had no real backing, but yet he comes in and sees his power. And you know this is going to be all because of the dragon, the devil. And he assumes power by stealth and diplomacy. These words, this great orator, these great things he can say and promise. He will not gain control by war, but by deceiving the leaders of the world that he can offer peace. He is truly just a bag of wind. Amen. It's the truth. And he's going to come in there and he's just going to speak and he's going to tell them all this. And he'll gain support from each, eventually enough, from each of those 10 kings of the earth. And it tells us that in Daniel 8, going over here to 25. And through his policy, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And again, that will happen, but they are giving him this power. They're giving him all of this. Because craft, as it says there, he will cause craft to prosper in his hands. Craft means deceit and lies. And this guy takes lies to a whole new level. It's true. I mean, and they prosper. All of these things because, again, the people are so ready for it. And I have to tell you, our country and the world has shown many signs of this in a willingness to be deceived because we're not looking to the Lord. That's the simplicity of it, and we'll get there in just a minute, that it's very obvious of why this can happen. So the Antichrist is very convincing in his lies. As he says in Daniel 9:27, we'll go over there. This is how convincing he is. In 9:27, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And this covenant is speaking of Israel. And so he gets Israel to even enter into a deal with him for a week, meaning the 7-year period of time. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So see, he gets Israel to enter in with this covenant, but he breaks it in the middle of the week. But again, he's so convincing that he can even convince them. He's so convincing that in Revelation 13:3, it says that the whole world wanders after him. Amen. It's about here. We are so prepared for this. I mean, you know, we forget very quickly. And I think at least I'll call it somewhat of a modern time. I mean, we'll just go back again to the 1930s, 1940s. I mean, Hitler was an absolute nothing. And I will tell you this, that Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. is an amazing thing. You start on the third floor, you go to the second floor, the first floor. But that third floor is pre-World War II. And basically it speaks of how Germany came out of World War I and how it was so poor and desolate and things were just completely falling apart. They took their money at that time and they burnt it to stay warm. I mean, they couldn't even buy bread with it. The only thing you could do was burn it to stay warm during the wintertime. That's how bad it got. It's going to even be worse than that in a time. It will be, as the Word of God tells us. People would never have thought it was that bad. You go back and look, and that happened so quickly. And here was a guy that was in jail, that was ostracized, all of it, that was an absolute nothing. And he came in speaking great things, this Hitler. And within a very short period of time, he was reigning over one of the world's superpowers and took a country and invaded pretty much everything. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we probably would be speaking German today. Amen. And that's the truth. That is the truth, but for God. All of the coincidences that happened, whether it was on the Russian front when they were going in there to take over Russia. If it wasn't for God sending that blizzard, that cold, and them not being prepared for that, they would have taken over Russia. But God, but he showed us this. Don't forget these things. It happens over and over. Man doesn't get more smart. Man gets actually more dumb because they get more vain in their own imaginations. And man's wisdom is foolishness to God. But yet we're growing in our foolishness, are we not? Christianity's fading away. Less and less people believe in Jesus. Less and less people all the time. Oh, God, in his great mercy, I was telling Polly this today. I said, oh, you know what? He's so merciful. He'll probably give us some type of a downturn in our economy or something will happen here again. Get a little bit more resurgence that people are going, oh, my goodness, maybe I ought to wake up. He does that over and over. And you see him do that. People get real godly when it gets tight. Yeah, I do. I remember after the Great Recession started in 2008, 2009, you couldn't keep them out of here. Well, where else are we going to go? Don't have any money to go on vacation. I guess we'll go to church. Can't pay my cable bill. Won't watch TV. I'll come to church. You know. And but for the grace of God, there go I. So, know it. All right. It's a good time in the Word of God, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So, this shows, again, how much power is going to be given to him. And in Revelation 13:3, where it says the whole world wonders after him, this is because, and especially, after he receives that deadly wound in his head, in 3 days, he's basically given life. He comes back to life in those 3 days. So again, this antitype, instead of this absolute counterfeit, but yet the people are so ripe to go after it. When that happens, God, again, is going to allow the enemy to have power, as the Word of God says. The devil at this time will be unleashed. He'll go forth like a roaring lion. And I encourage you to think of a lot of horrific things that have happened in the history of our world. We have not seen anything yet. Nothing like this. Don't doubt it. The Word of God tells us. So, be prepared. Now, this shows truly again the power that is given to the beast by the dragon or the devil. Think of it this way too. Israel, they looked to Egypt in the Old Testament for help. They looked to Egypt for an alliance. They did. And what happened? They were taken into slavery. Yes. See, any time we don't look to the Lord for our needs, we're going to be basically in a bondage situation. And this is this final end of what happens is Israel, again, is so pressed, it will enter into this covenant. It will enter into this agreement, believe it or not, with the Antichrist himself, which will be broken somewhere in the middle of the tribulation. And then again, they'll be pursued to be completely destroyed. But God. Amen. We know the end of that story. Hallelujah. But in Revelation 17:8, got to kind of move along here. It states that the beast that you saw, which once was and now which was and now is not, he'll come out of the abyss and go to his destruction. In other words, the Antichrist again will die in the middle of the tribulation. And since Satan will be cast out of heaven, aware that he has only a short time, he will indwell and empower the Antichrist to duplicate, in a sense, similar resurrection, that 3 days. From the point that Satan himself will give this power again to the Antichrist to perform incredible miracles, counterfeit miracles, signs and wonders. And we began to read that in Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, that he will deceive the world. And I think it's an interesting thought as well, too, when you think about, as it says, the Antichrist who was and is not and yet is to come. We understand that, yeah, that's a very important encouragement there because it's in the same part of Scripture that the Antichrist receives that deadly wound and then in 3 days he comes back to life, okay? But again, let's not limit the Word of God to what it could be expressing and all of the types and shadows that we get from this. But what about Rome itself? Because we saw that of the 10 horns and in that last kingdom, Rome was, in a sense, in that empowerment, that again is where that Antichrist is background, his heritage is from. But think about Rome. Rome was never really destroyed by an enemy. Rome was destroyed internally. It fell, it collapsed upon itself. But it never really went away. Europe still kind of went on. So you could say it was, as is not, and here it comes, Europe again. And in that European power. And you start to see the resurgence. Remember how we used to have individual countries? Now we're not having individual countries. One wants to leave and we have a big problem now, don't we? It's all gearing up. These are types and shadows. This is exciting. It's all coming to pass. Or could it be even the beast himself? Think about this. Could the beast have been promoted to a powerful situation? To power, I should say. And then the power was taken away, but then yet receives power once again. Thoughts. Very interesting ones as well too. And I believe very godly ones. Now, let's go on to the characteristics of the Antichrist. And we'll close with this tonight. And I hope they'll be sobering to us to ponder to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And let's go on over to 2 Thessalonians. And in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, let's begin there because this speaks of the day of the Lord and this is speaking of the introduction of the Antichrist here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Think about how troubled and shaken in mind people, and especially even God's people that really don't know the Word of God, when you start talking about end times with them or the tribulation with them. See, I don't plan to be here. I'm believing Paul's gospel, and I'm believing to be out of here on the other side bringing that stuff back. Praise God. And that's what's so wonderful. If you believe about the tribulation and you believe about the Antichrist, well, why wouldn't you believe in the Bride of Christ? Amen? It's in the Word of God, too. Matter of fact, more so. Amen. All right. So So that you soon be not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by the word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Even Paul was looking for it at that time. It's here. And what is a day with the Lord? A thousand years is as a day. So is Paul's day. It's been 2 days. Amen. Come on. I know to us, oh, come on, brother. No, come on, brother. Let's get into the word of God. So let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall not come. See, that day of the Lord shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there's going to become a falling away, and then that Antichrist is going to be revealed. And I believe that we'll begin, and by the grace of God, I pray each and every life here, hearing Paul's gospel and laying hold of these things, that he'll perform that which he has promised and that he'll do it. Praise God. But I believe that we will see in some way, shape, or form, and most likely maybe even know who this might be, even before the Lord would come. But it doesn't really matter. I'm not looking to name it. That's not the game of this here. It's just to understand, praise the Lord, that these signs are here. And he loves us so much, he wants us to be about the thing of his coming. Hallelujah. So this tells us there first must come a falling away. Isn't that interesting? A falling away from the word. See, that's when you're weak. That's when the enemy can have an advance. And how much more so for our world and our society and even our country. Our country is getting ripe to follow after this guy. It really is. You take 100 years ago, no, this country wasn't going to be doing that. There was still a godly presence. There were godly thoughts and things of that nature. We're a nation, my goodness. And I'm not trying to get into, you know, we're going to have a march and all that kind of thing. But when you start talking about we're going to take in God we trust off of our coins, and we got to go and scrape all of the scriptures off of our monuments. If you ever go out to Washington, D.C., go look at our monuments all over the place on them. They try to almost hide it anymore. The word of God's all over them. It's so amazing. It's so wonderful. I thank the Lord for the Lord. Not for, I love his vessels, but it's because of the treasure in the earthen vessels. Amen. But that's what happens is there's a falling away first. There must be a falling away. And when there's a falling away, the enemy's going to have an open season and he's going to convince them. And let's read how he convinces them and what he does. Verse 4. So when that son of perdition or the Antichrist come, what does he do? He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. I thought I knew somebody like that. Just kidding. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. See, listen to this. And the same words coming out again, isn't he? And see, this isn't Paul speaking. This is the Spirit speaking. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and he's speaking to us. And what is he telling you? Remember, when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And praise the Lord, until the bride of Christ is taken out. That stuff ain't going forward. That's what's so beautiful. That's how much he loves, praise the Lord, his bride, his wife, that he loves those that love and follow Paul as he followed Christ. This is what this is. And I thank the Lord. It's so obvious. But we see that he opposes God. He exalts himself above God. He opposes worship. He sits in the temple as God and he says he is God. All right. And then shall, in verse 8, that wicked be revealed from the Lord, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. See, the Lord always reminds us, yeah, this is all going to take place, but my word is going to destroy it. He speaks lies. I'm power. This is truth. Now, verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. See, it's all because they refuse the gospel. This is why you go into this. This is why this would dupe a life, is because you refuse Jesus Christ. And for this cause, because you refused my son, God shall send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So this one will do the works of Satan. He'll use lying signs and wonders. Unrighteousness will be abounding in heights we've never seen. And he'll get all the people to accept these delusions. So, I think we have a really good understanding of what's going to happen. Let's close it all going back to Daniel 11 and just understand again what the signs of Antichrist are. Daniel 11:37, and we've read some of these verses already. It says here, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. It's kind of interesting here too, because you know, this guy is so caught up in himself, so consumed with himself, he don't even need a woman. You know, some people say, well, that means he's homosexual. I don't believe so. I just believe he's so caught up in himself, he's just fine and dandy with worshiping him. He's the devil himself. Remember the devil, that cherub? Lucifer exalted himself above God. He didn't want nobody. He had himself. There it was. And all he wanted was to be worshipped. Oh my, how icky. But he will speak pompously and arrogantly. He will not regard the desire of women. He will intend to change the times and laws. Listen to this. 7:25. There's so much here. I appreciate your encouragement and listening and to hear these things. It's the word of our wonderful Lord. In 7:25 it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of a time. That's for 3.5 years. He's going to have this kind of power. It's going to be given unto him. But you think about what it just said there. He's going to change time. What does that really mean? It means he changes history. And think about what's going on right now. They're changing history. They really are. They're telling us completely different stories. Everything's different now. I think I could say this with some liberty, and I'm not trying to say anything except what's very true. I mean, I didn't realize that all of our forefathers were homosexual. And I say that with tongue in cheek because basically that's what you're almost hearing. Yeah. They changed these things. I don't know if some of them were or weren't, but I know all of them were. But what my point is that the Word of God is the Word of God. And what happens is they try to tell a different story because man's a liar. And this is the consummate of everything condensed into this life, empowered by Satan to completely change what is. And this what comes forth, and this is what happened, is what is happening right now. So he changes history, he changes events, he changes their meaning, he changes law, it says. And look at what's going on right now. The rights, the changing, the worldly perspective that we're having now. It's global, it's not individual. It just is very interesting to me as you look at this. And brothers and sisters, I pray that anybody listen to this. I am not getting you to try to say, well, you need to vote for this or that or anything. Please understand. I'm just saying observe what's going on. In the Word of God, look at what's going on. And it didn't say run out to your polling station. It said to look what's going on and then look up. Amen. To understand that's what's coming. This is what it's about. And these are the things that we need to really understand. But see, we know that this is the enemy because he'll magnify himself above every god. He will blaspheme the true God. It goes on in verse 38 here. He makes a god of his military. When he does get that strength, his military is worshipped. Matter of fact, it says a God of forces. He calls it the God of forces. He'll be the most brutal conqueror there's ever been. That's verses 39 through 42. He will control the world's finances in verse 43 of the 11th chapter. Listen to this. In 11:43, it says, "But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." He'll have it all. See, without the mark of the beast in Revelation 13:17, you can't transact money. Without the mark of the beast at that time, you couldn't go in to buy a loaf of bread. You're either going to be part of the system or you're done. You're going to be completely ostracized from life. He will persecute and make war against the saints of God for 3.5 years. No wonder Daniel here, he sees him and he calls him, even though he's not referring to him as the King of Kings, but he says, that's the king. And that king shall do according to his own will. He'll magnify himself above every god. He'll speak all blasphemies against God. And he shall prosper till God deems it's time for his destruction. And the Bible tells us, at the time of his demise, it's going to be very interesting. He's going to be turned rampant in that Middle Eastern area. He's going to go through and start conquering, especially in that area, because he wants to get to Israel. He wants to completely destroy him. He wants to completely take that place and exalt himself. And the enemy's going to be about that, because again, what does God say? Oh, God says, oh no, my people. God's earthly people, those Jews are going to be restored. They're going to be the ones that are going to be ruling on this earth, those 12 tribes and all. They're going to be the ones that are going to spread the gospel during the millennium. But see, this is when Daniel 11:40, it's very interesting. The Antichrist starts to rub everybody wrong, these other kings. And they start to get a little bit upset. Remember those ones that the three gave him, they just laid down for him. But there were still those other seven that were hanging around there. And so it says that the armies of the north and the armies of the south start to come in on him. But he escapes them, it says. And he's able to get away. But then the armies of the east and then the armies of the north. And you think about the bear of the north. That'd be maybe something like with the Russia, that type of a power. And then the east, you're talking about all of Asia, China and all that. But basically what happens is the armies of the north and the east come to a certain battle. And that battle, praise God, is called Armageddon. And it's so wonderful because it says there's an army there of 200 million. Now, you think about when this was written, and there ain't even 200 million people on this planet. Huh? But you know, I just thought that was such a wonderful thing, at least about a year ago. And you can Google this or whatever you'd like. But China made the statement that they have a 200 million man ready army. Did they know what they were spouting off? What number? Absolutely not. Did God? You absolutely sure? They have a 200 million man ready army. Just one country that they boast of today. And they're all going to come down and they're going to meet in Armageddon. And Revelation 9 and 16 reveal this amazing scene. And I'm just going to read three verses to end this tonight, to end on the right note. And here's the right note, Revelation 17:17, just to make sure we know who is in control. Revelation 17:17, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will," and he's speaking of all of those evil. "He put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled." Do you see it's all for his purpose? Do you see the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, all of that evil and that nonsense? It's for his purpose because it's going to magnify his word and it's going to magnify his word in his saints, praise God. So we know that, which is so wonderful. And then go on over to Revelation 19:19. I always love to read the end of the story. "For the beast. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war." This is there at Armageddon. "Against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And Daniel 7:26 tells you the same thing. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And we're so thankful to Jesus. And I pray that it encourage you. And again, not at all to magnify the Antichrist, but thanks be to God, I know what he's used for. I know that that air is here. You know, it's here. And by the grace of God, let's be looking up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.